This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman, immediately to Texas, Boca Chica, Texas, and Starbase. Bob, a very good evening to you. I believe we're waiting on the 11th test. In the meantime, there's some real estate around Starbase that is always in reflection. What is it decided this week? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. No, this is just generally the trend in the good news. Starbase has now taken control of the nearby beaches at Boca Chica. It has made a deal with the local county, Cameron County, in which they hand over a portion of the Boca Chica beach to SpaceX. I'm sorry, not to SpaceX, to Starbase, the new town there, for that town to clean and maintain the and maybe improve the beaches. And this also gives them power to close it when necessary for starships with heavy launches. So this is part of the general trend in Texas law to move things from other controls to the Starbase itself, not to the company Starbase, but to the town Starbase. Now, of course, that town is mostly inhabited by Starship employees, SpaceX employees, and in fact, the commissioners of the Starbase are SpaceX employees. So they're going to favor what SpaceX wants, but it's what the town's population wants as well. And so we're going to see less obstacles to launching by SpaceX down the road because of this.
The tortoise and the hare. Is there a proverb in the tortoise losing? All right, let's ask. Bob, the ULA is doing a Kuiper launch. Excuse us for interrupting their lunch. What's happened?
All right, so no, they had a launch. They succeeded. ULA used its Atlas V rocket, which is in the process of slowly retiring as it uses up the last few. It used the Atlas V rocket to launch 27 more of Amazon's Kuiper satellites into orbit. The Kuiper constellation is a direct competitor with Starlink. They were both proposed at the exact same time. SpaceX has got several thousand satellites in orbit and multi-million number of customers already signed up. Amazon now has 129 satellites in orbit. They started launching them finally this year, and this is, I think, the fourth launch and the second or third launch that ULA has done for them. SpaceX has done a few. So they're beginning to get the satellites up. They've got to get another about almost 1,500 more in orbit by next July to meet their FCC license requirements. But getting them launched, though, is going to help them, because even if they don't make that number, they're getting to reasonably close to it. I think the FCC will give them an extension. This is good. Amazon, ULA is moving forward to launch these. It's going to do more launches before the end of the year, as many as 8 more times. And if that happens, we'll start to see some progress. The other launch companies that are supposed to launch this constellation, Blue Origin with its New Glenn rocket, and Ariana Group with its Ariana 6 rocket, they're really not getting much done. That's one of the reasons that Amazon signed SpaceX to actually launch satellites. And SpaceX is quite willing to do that, make some money, and preclude anyone accusing them of being a monopoly by launching their competitor.
Is Kuiper the same as Starlink, the same mission?
Say again? I'm sorry.
Is Kuiper the same as Starlink?
Yeah, Starlink and Kuiper will both do the same thing. They're both internet constellations of multi-satellites that will allow you to have internet. You know, you buy a terminal from both. And the Kuiper constellation is the exact same concept as Starlink. It just took them almost a decade longer to get their first satellite.
All right, two space station stories. What have we got?
All right, so first, Axiom, which is building a station that will initially attach to ISS and then separate. That's their proposal. They have hired a 3D manufacturing in space company, Redwire, to build the solar panels for its first station module and maybe later modules as well. This first station module is a power module, like a service module that will attach to ISS. When the second module, which is the habitable module, gets launched, they will be able to detach from ISS at that point. And the solar panels are not panels you're used to, which spread out on the sides. Initially, there are panels on the station itself wrapped around the outside hull. And Redwire will be building those for them. The other station story is Starlab. This is a station that's conceived as a single, really large module that will be launched on Starship. Well, they have now hired a a space hardware company that builds lots of different hardware for a lot of different spacecraft that's based in near New Orleans. It's called Vivace, and they have been hired to build the primary structure of that proposed Starlab station, that very big object. It'll be the largest single structure ever developed for launch, not to launch like Starship. And so they're getting ready to build that. Starlab is interesting because it's got a lot of partnerships with Europe. And so these two space stations are moving forward aggressively to show that they're going to build something. And the third station that's showing it's going to build something is VAST, with its Haven 1 module, demo module next year, followed by its full space station, Haven 2, later. The full space station, Orbital Reef, being built by Blue Origin, Sierra Space, that's going nowhere, but I'll get into that next week, John.
Bob, update me on ISS, the retirement date. Is it fixed or is it still a debate?
It's presently set at 2030, and almost no one thinks that's going to get extended. And that has to do mostly with the Zvezda module. Everyone's very concerned about that. There are ways to get around that, but it would mean breaking off the partnership with Russia. And, of course, this is an international station. The politics are too complicated. So it's going to go 2030 almost certainly, John.
And they're deorbited or they rent it out?
They will deorbit it. They have signed a $700 or $800 million contract with SpaceX to launch a spacecraft that will dock with the station with a large enough fuel capacity and engine to deorbit the whole thing. SpaceX is building that.
And that deorbit was built into the original, or are they going to...
No. This is a contract that was issued, I think, 2 years ago, maybe three. It was always planned to deorbit the station, but they didn't start actually moving forward to do that until a few years ago.
All right. We move from space station to NASA. Okay. February to April of 2026. I mark it in my calendar. Shall I do it in pencil or ink, Bob?
I wouldn't even mark it in your calendar if you were. No, I wouldn't want to have to erase it later. NASA has revealed that it is now targeting a launch window for the next Artemis mission on SLS Orion. This will be the first manned mission, and they'll send those astronauts around the moon and back to Earth. It won't be in orbit around the moon. They'll slingshot around the moon and come back to Earth. It'll be basically a duplication of the first unmanned Artemis mission. And they've now announced that they're targeting a launch window earlier than previously stated. It will be that launch window will open on February 5th, 26, and extend into April. Now, they note that they have options in April, different dates. And they have not set one of those dates yet, but they are revealing that they're willing to go as early as February 5th. They say safety is their main concern, and that's what they'll make a decision of launch date. I have to always remind people that safety is not NASA's concern here, not in the slightest. Schedule is its concern. This is Columbia and Challenger all over again. They're putting scheduling concerns and politics ahead of safety because the Orion capsule they're going to launch with four people on board around the moon for a 10-day mission has a heat shield that's very questionable, and it will be using its environmental systems that keep the astronauts alive for the very first time. In other words, these astronauts are going to be guinea pigs for that environmental system. So NASA does not have safety involved at all here. The irony of this is the same time they revealed this, they also announced they've named that capsule Integrity. It embodies the foundation of trust, respect, candor, and humility across NASA. Well, I wouldn't have trust, respect, or for any of their candor based on how they've operated in this manner, as well as with the shuttle. And
All right, Bob, everything goes perfectly. What is ahead? If everything...
If it goes perfectly, pray God it does. No one dies. We pray. If it goes perfectly, they hope to launch a manned landing the next year with SLS Orion and Starship. Promise you. Don't even put any of this in your calendar as a pencil because none of this is real. I would say the next launch will probably happen in the spring of next year. Let's cross our fingers no one dies.
All right.
Whether the manned mission will happen, I have no idea when that will occur.
So spring of 26 for around the moon and spring of 27, best case, for a landing on the moon.
I wouldn't say spring of 27. I would just say 27 at this point. I don't think they firmed it up that quickly.
Firefly. I like Firefly. I've liked everything about it. It's a publicly traded company now. What's the news?
All right. So when it first went public last month, They initially said the stock price would be in the range of $35 to $39. When it actually opened, it was in the 40 range. But it quickly rose almost instantly to $70 and was really selling at high numbers. Well, in the month and a half since, they issued their first quarterly report, which did not indicate, was worse than thought. There were poor revenues. They're not making profit yet, which is a startup. That's not surprising. The stock has dropped. It's dropped down to $41. And, of course, the Wall Street is saying, oh, this company that has lost its sheen, no one's interested anymore. It's not going to go anywhere. I look at this and say, my God, it's now down at the price they predicted the price should be when they first released it. But this company is a solid company, a space company right now. They got a rocket. They're the first to actually land something on the moon with their Blue Ghost lander. And they've got contracts for more landers down the road, and they've got contracts for their Alpha rocket, which is now cleared to launch again. It's had a mixed history, but I think overall that's a history that will improve with time. So this company is not dying by any means, even if the stock has dropped.
The stock performance, from my experience, Bob, is typical of an IPO, no matter whether it's a rocket company or not.
Uh-huh.
Canadian rocket startup. This is promising. What's up?
All right, so there have been two spaceports trying to build in Canada. One started in 2016, it's gotten anywhere, and that's in Nova Scotia. A new company appeared 3 years ago called Nordspace, and they wanted to do a multiple thing. They wanted to open up their own spaceport in Newfoundland called the Atlantic Spaceport, but they also wanted to build rockets and launch from there. And so this past week, they attempted to do a suborbital launch of a rocket they call Taiga. They tried twice on two separate days, but both times they had fuel leaks at the launch pad, which caused fires. Nothing big, but it could have caused them to scrub the launch twice. So they're now postponing the launch for several weeks because they need to do some engineering corrections to make sure this doesn't happen again. Very good idea. This company has moved very, very fast in less than 3 years from idea to launching. And they have an orbital rocket in the works. They're building rocket engines. They have a satellite. Their first demo satellite will launch next year. This company is making things happen in Canada, unlike the other spaceport that's been around for almost a decade.
All right, the Chinese and a satellite that photographs a satellite. Is that what they're doing?
Yes. Well, this is a tit-for-tat situation. There's a commercial company, American-Canadian company called Maxar, that has imaging satellites in orbit for doing reconnaissance on the ground. They sell their images to whoever wants them, military, American, you know, Western allies, as well as commercial operations. Well, they took a picture of a Chinese satellite that's being used for rendezvous testing and remote and testing surveillance technologies. They did it a few weeks ago. So China used its own reconnaissance satellite called Jilin-1 to take pictures of the Maxar satellite. And so they're demonstrating they have the capability to do reconnaissance in orbit of other satellites. They've been doing this very clearly, so have we. The resolution of the Chinese imagery is not as good as the Maxar, but that might not be technologically a limitation. That might be they're just simply not revealing how good their resolution is. Either way, war in space, you can't stop it. It's going to happen.
Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.